Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show.
Bring it in on three. One, two, three.
It's Friday night. Time for an in-depth and unique spotlight on a member of your green and gold.
Ready?
Now, live from the Leaps and Bounds Cafe at Lodge Kohler in Green Bay, here's the big unit. Bill Michaels.
Welcome. It is the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live. We're at Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay, and we are glad that you are taking a listen to us tonight. Packers come into this contest this weekend at 2-0. The Denver Broncos come a-calling, and we'll get into that coming up here in just a little bit. As I had mentioned, we're at Lodge Kohler. Kind of the fireside chat as we go with this, and we're going to get into the discussions of football here soon enough. But Gianni, how you been, man? The food and beverage administrator here for Lodge Kohler, and we always do a different wine each week. So tell us what we got this week.
So tonight we are going to move a little to South America. We are going to be talking to another French grape. In 1800s, 1860, a big parasite destroyed the fields in France. It's called a phylloxera. And it's called like a root loss that destroyed the roots of the vineyards. And since of that, this grape immigrated to South America, Argentina specific. So we are talking about Malbec, one of the best, in my opinion, South American wines right now, and one of the most famous grapes from Argentina, even when Cabernet is still the main production of wines in Argentina. This specific is another of our wines here at Leaps and Bounds Cafe. One more time, rated. All our wines at Los Coles are rated 90 points or higher by One Spectator or Robert Parker. And this specific is 90 plus by Robert Parker. It's from Uco Valley in Mendoza. It's a beautiful Malbec wine, red, raspberries, fruits, red fruits. The harvest of this wine is 100% hand harvest. They select the grapes one by one from the vineyards until the final process, and I hope you enjoy it.
There you go. Cheers to hopefully another Packers victory. So far, we're 2-0 when we do the wine, so we'll stick with that all season long. Gianni, real quick, I know that they can find it upstairs at Tavern in the Sky as well if they're coming up here for the game this weekend, right?
Absolutely. Upstairs, we have a different wine list, but here all the wines are draft. We are the only one in town who have the draft wine system. And then upstairs, we have around 140 wines in our wine list in Tavern in the Sky. Also, every wine, every champagne is rated 90 points or higher, also for One Spectator Robert Parker. And you can find wines produced by Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt from like pod players like Beyoncé and Jay-Z champagnes and a lot of celebrity wines. Charles Woodson wines. So we have a great list upstairs, too.
Big list upstairs at Tavern in the Sky. Always a pleasure to chat with you, man. We thank you for stopping by, okay?
Thank you, everybody, for being here.
There you go. Corner. Cheers to a Green Bay Packer victory this weekend.
Go Pack. See you next Friday.
And now we get set as we sit here today and talk a little bit about the game itself and the off season and what that brought. Because the last time him and I had a chance to chat, Aaron Jones, we'll have him over here at the table, was I think we were sitting at an event at Super Bowl down in Atlanta. And then Manny Wilkins here also, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, joining us up here at the table, ladies and gentlemen. So if you want to give a nice round of applause as they put the headsets on and get here. Manny, how you doing, man? I'll start with you. You want to delve into this thing, and you bring your buddy with you? That's not a bad way to go.
It's the other way around.
Is it? How you been, Aaron?
I've been great.
Last time you and I chatted, we were at what, Ditka's event? Down in Atlanta, I think? We didn't do cigars. You didn't do cigars that day, did you? You were with the family hanging out, but we did. That was a good event.
Yes, sir.
So, Manny, I want to start with you real quick. So, coming into this situation, obviously there was, Deshaun Kizer, they traded for him. Boyle obviously looked pretty good, and then they say, hey, we want to keep a spot for you so you can not only be here but to learn and under the tutelage of Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. What has that been like for you?
I can't put into words the amount of things that I'm able to process, learning from, obviously 12 and then the things that he's seen. It's not a lot of words can be said about just being in a room with that. I think there's a lot of things that you can't take for granted, and having the opportunity to learn from one of the best to ever do it is a true blessing. But, I've had a really good opportunity to be in the locker room and, make a lot of friends and make a lot of close relationships with guys on the team. So I think that's been the most special part about being here is that I'm in a locker room where I feel like every time I walk in the building every morning from work, we got a group of guys that really enjoy being around each other.
Aaron, you know what that's like, coming into that locker room and there's some stars, there's some names, and then, you're trying to make a name for yourself and about the study habits and about knowing the right place, because in Green Bay, the running back doesn't normally have the job of being a running back. Your job usually is making sure that he doesn't get hit, don't fumble the football, and again, make sure he doesn't get hit. If you happen to pick some yardage up along the way, it's a good thing. So you can kind of relate to what he's going through about how he has to absorb everything, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell me about what it's been like with Matt LaFleur and the new offense.
It's been a lot of fun, a lot of moving parts. We've been doing this since OTAs, and we're still putting it together. And it's a lot of explosive plays just waiting to happen. We got the weapons to do it, and we got a great quarterback, so we're excited about it.
Now, you had to come in and learn one system. Now you've got to learn a different verbiage, basically. How difficult has it been for you to absorb the words of what the offense is?
Yeah, I think going from college to the NFL, in college, a lot of things are signals and,
right.
One key word that is a full play, so it's easier for guys in college to just come in, learn a system and go. But luckily I had four offensive coordinators in 4 years, so I had a new system every year that kind of prepared me to be able to learn on the go and continue to just process information and continue to keep it pushing.
How difficult has it been for you to just absorb everything? Because it's, in this particular system, you miss a block, you can end up causing a quarterback to go down. So you've got a lot of pressure on you to make sure you know right place, right time.
Yes, sir, but it's football, so it doesn't change much. The verbiage, like you said, will change, but 9 times out of 10, outside zone is still outside zone, inside zone is still inside zone. Different words attached might read it a little bit different.
Because Aaron had to go to that wristband. He didn't use it a whole lot in the game against the Vikings, but how difficult is it to get all the apparently there's a lot to it when you start deciphering it from coach into your headset and then back into the huddle. It takes a little time, right?
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, they do a really good job of making sure that the plays that we call marry around each other very well. So, it's like certain plays will look exactly the same as another play would look. And that's kind of the element of surprise of our offense is that guys just got to be so disciplined and do the same exact thing over and over and over until, the big plays happen because of the same exact thing. They think a run's coming, but it's a pad, it's that type of thing.
And we saw a little bit of that in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. And that's what you'll see a lot of out of our offense. Like you said, marrying the run in the pass game. You can't tell if we're running out of a certain formation. You can't tell if we're passing out of a certain formation. So you can't get a beat on us. It's just going to help us.
It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels, Manny Wilkins alongside, and also Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packer here as well. Most carries you've had in a game as a Green Bay Packer, most usage between the catches and between the runs that you had. Tell me, first of all, how you felt after that game. That was a physical game. I mean, Aaron was beat up.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was a physical game. And we know that going in with Minnesota, it's always a physical game. But I was just a little sore. Nothing. Just a little bit. Nothing out of the ordinary, so I was fine with that.
How is it when you're on the sideline and you're trying to absorb all that? If you're inactive, you're not doing anything. But how difficult is that to keep engaged?
I mean, at the end of the day, I'm one play away from not being inactive. So every day I come to work, I have to prepare myself with if an opportunity does present itself, I want to be ready for it. So, I take – every day as an opportunity to learn, sit behind them, know the game plan. I have to know the game plan. You know, I travel to all the games, so it's not like being a practice squad guy. I'm just sitting at home after, you know, going on away games. I travel with the team and everything. So, and I have, you know, my duties on game day that I have to do, and certain things I have to look at for the defense so that when we come in at halftime and we want to make adjustments, you know, we all have a say.
So in the huddle, you're both trying to learn. Tell me what Aaron – I'm going to start with you, Aaron. Tell me what Aaron has meant, because he's got teaching moments. He's got moments that he expects of you, and then he's got moments that he wants to teach you, as well as the other guys around you. So tell me what those moments are like for you.
Just a teaching moment to be like maybe on a certain play, he expected you to widen your guy and slip inside and stay high, and what you probably did was slip him and start cutting across the field, and he'll just stop you and tell everybody, hey, this is how I want it to be done. And so we run it that way the next time, and it works perfect. It works in the game. So just his little teacher moments right there, it goes a long way. Or like on a scramble drill, he'll coach us up, and that's a big thing in our game. So
yeah. So Manny, when you absorb that, you almost have to run it exactly the way Aaron would run it, not being Aaron Rodgers, but because this is what guys are now expected to do, right?
For sure, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, though, every quarterback that does step in there is their own type of leader. They lead their own type of way. You know, you can't try to emulate somebody else, because I feel like then you're not being yourself, you know. So, but that being said, I just think Aaron's cool demeanor, his calm, you know, never a moment is too high, never a moment too low. It's just kind of even keel always. And he just has this, like, what I hear in the huddle when I get the chance to stand behind him in practice and listen is he has this calming tone that he talks in the huddle with, where it's like, you know, no franticness when he's calling the play out. It's, hey, you got this. All right, on one, ready. And then we break out. So I think that's something that, you know, letting the other guys, other 10 guys that are on the field with you, know that you're comfortable and you're calm makes them comfortable and calm, because you're the focal point.
So I'm going to start off with that. The game in Chicago, things looked a little herky-jerky, maybe a little discombobulated at times. Some big plays over the top, you get points. You came out and smoked the Vikings in the first quarter and 2 minutes of that ball game. Things settled down after that, but tell me why things worked early on in that ball game against Minnesota.
We just knew we had to come out and start fast. That's something we made a point of the whole.
Yeah,
week.
But you looked as crisp as you've looked in 2 years.
Oh yes,
that was That was the best three drives I've seen in a long time.
It was all 11 just being on the same page. Nobody missing an assignment. When you have all 11 working as a unit like that, it's going to be beautiful. You're going to put drives like that together. As soon as you start having 2-3 people have a mistake here and there, that's when you start stalling on drives. So we just all came out ready to play, and we looked to start like that this week as well.
From perspective on the sideline, was it perfect?
No. No. Not at all. Nowhere close to perfect. No.
Because it looked – I mean, you could see, you know, a block here or what have you, but those first three drives in which you guys put points up, they looked, like I said, about as good as we've seen out of this offense. It looked like misdirection. The play action was fantastic. If you're going to learn anything from Aaron Rodgers, one of the best play action guys I've ever seen in my life. I've seen Joe Montana was one of the best, Boomer Esiason probably the second best, and Aaron Rodgers is right there. Because if you sell it, I mean, everybody in the press box thought it was a run, and then he goes over the top. I mean, if you sell play action, that is so big, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you have guys that are running the ball really efficiently, it also helps with play action tremendously. So, you know, when you're averaging 5-plus yards a carry, they have to do something. They have to respect the run. So that really – everybody doing their 1-11th, that's something that, like, you know, Coach LaFleur preaches, is everybody just do your 1-11th. And if everybody does that, we'll be good. We'll be rolling.
Talk about Coach LaFleur and his demeanor, because he obviously he's a guy that's sitting with the quarterbacks. He's running over on the sideline talking to the offensive line.
Walking. He can't run.
He does it. He'll walk quickly, we'll say, because you can see him
around. He's jogging around.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can see him. He wants to get his giddy up on, but he just can't yet. Yeah. But where he wants to be and the way he wants to interact, it's different for you, Aaron, isn't it?
Well, definitely. It's just a whole new energy. You can feel it from the time we stepped on the field at OTAs through now. It's just every day is consistent. It makes you want to be in the building. It makes you want to go out and practice. It makes you just want to be around the team. And Coach LaFleur does a good job. He's always communicating with us, cracking jokes. He's just I don't know how to explain it. It's just a new energy, and we're all excited about it.
Let's do this. We're going to go take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the beginning of the season. Talk a little bit about the offseason coming into this season, which I think is an interesting aspect of all of this as well. This is the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live. Lodge Kohler right across the street from Lambeau Field. If you want to stop in, please come in and say hello. Aaron Jones, Manny Wilkins, both here. I'm Bill Michaels. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. It is the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. I am Bill Michaels, and we are glad you are here today. And thanks to everybody for coming up and joining us here at Lodge Kohler. I know they got a packed house upstairs at Tavern in the Sky as well. Manny Wilkins of the Green Bay Packers, backup quarterback there. Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers, both joining us here at the table. And I want to get into the offseason, guys. Now, Manny, it's a different offseason for you. You're coming out of draft. You're coming into the situation where you're waiting to see where you're going to go. Aaron's been there, done that. What I find is most guys, you come out of college, you get into combines, you try to start training for your pro days and all that kind of, it never stops. Have you had a chance to kind of catch up yet?
No. I mean, we've had some off time after OTAs and all that stuff, but besides that, I mean, the rookie year, they always say, is one of your hardest years because you got the extra meetings, you got the NFLPA meetings, extra ones that you got to do, and learning on how everything works up here. But I mean, it's all part of the job.
Yeah. And then Aaron, you and I chatted in the off season when we were down in Atlanta, and you had said, you know, a couple weeks off, and then you wanted to get back at it. You told me, because we were talking, and you said, you know, I want to add a little weight and I want to get a little stronger, because you don't want to, you know, you want to take the pounding, because you want. So it looks like you're bigger. How much bigger are you?
I'm about the same weight. I just cut out the body fat.
That's what I was gonna say. You look a little more cut up.
Just changed my eating habits. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So do you notice a difference? Because the one thing running backs always say is, if I add more muscle, my weight's about the same, but I can lose my quickness. Do you feel you've lost anything?
No, sir. Well, I actually feel like I gained things. So I got faster, got stronger, quicker, just by taking out that body fat out of my body and turning it into muscle and being able to be explosive.
So when the offseason kind of comes and you get drafted by the Packers, go through the experience of what it's like being brought into Lambeau, being brought into Green Bay, and then the inundation of information that begins after that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what this was here, what this city was like, what this town was like, and everything. So I remember getting off the plane for the first time and being like, "This airport is so small."
Where'd the city go?
Yeah, I mean, I was just, and then we just, you know, went down. We went through like some secret exit door, and then we got in a car and we were driving. He's like, "Okay, well, you know, these are some of the houses where the players live, and there's some houses here, stadium." And then I was just like, "Oh, stadium's just in like the middle of the neighborhood, almost."
Right.
Pretty much. So, it's what I've noticed though is how unique of a place this is, just how special, you know, the Packers are to this community. To be a part of something like that and to put a smile on kids' face, riding their bicycle and all the little things that aren't the football side of things is what really makes this place a unique and special place.
When the draft came up, they drafted Dexter Williams. And, you know, immediately you think, okay, guy coming out of Notre Dame, prominent program, he's going to come in, and obviously this is a job business. You got a job for so long, you take a beating, and next thing you know, you're injured, you lose your job. So when something like that happens, when you get a guy – what is your mentality when you look and say, "Man, they took a running back"?
It doesn't change my mentality, my normal processing or thinking. I go about my day the same way I'm going to go about it. I'm going to compete every day. It's no different as if I'm competing with Jamal. He's been there with me for 3 years now, so it's no different that they're bringing somebody else in. And you'll see that in football. They're always bringing somebody in, try to find somebody better in that position and upgrade that position, but that's a part of what you can control, how you perform and how you prepare.
I want to ask you, because this was the question I asked coming into the season. Other than Billy Turner, you didn't add really anybody at a starting position. It's the same group. Last year was a good year. It wasn't a great year, and it wasn't a typical Aaron Rodgers year, even though he had great numbers. So tell me why this offense is going to be better this year.
This offense just it has big plays waiting to happen. We have explosive weapons all over the field, and Coach LaFleur knows how to get the ball to those weapons and take advantage of matchups. And we just have I feel like we have the right mixture of youth and veterans, and we're just mashing well, and we're just going to continue to grow.
When every year I always ask, I say, you know, do you feel something? You know, do you feel something special? And guys will say, well, you know, you got to grow into that. That's an easy word for no, not at that point. And then other guys will say, yeah, you know, there's definitely something here. There's a different vibe. There's a different closeness. There's a different camaraderie in the locker room. I'll start with you, Manny, coming into this situation, not knowing as a guy from the outside looking in and now being inundated with it. Give me your experience. I'm talking offensively now with the offense.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of veteran presence there that is, you know, guys doing it at a very high level. And then you have some young guys that have really made some flashes, kind of like Aaron was saying. So I really believe that, one, it's just in terms of the vibe and the energy that we have, it's like I said, we come into work every morning, and as I feel my job is as a guy that's on practice squad and I got to go out there and give a good look every day for these guys is – I want to come in with the best energy possible. I want to have a smile on my face coming into work. I want to look guys in their eyes, ask them how their day is going, things like that, and just have that good, you know, aroma around me so that it feeds, because that type of stuff is contagious. You know, everybody walking in and having a good energy and good, you know, just camaraderie is contagious. So that's what I think, like I said, is the big difference from what I've heard from players that are on the team past years is just guys are together. Guys are – there is no separation in the locker room. You know, everybody communicates. It's just – when we have fun, we have a lot of fun in that locker room. We have a lot of fun in team meetings. You know, we do a lot of competitions every day before we get to business and football, you know, and we just do it at a really good, fun level.
And, Aaron, I'll ask you, this is your third year, so you've had a feel each year. One year you're taking it in as a rookie. Last year you're a guy that's been there, done that. You made a name for yourself. And now this is your third year. You tell me how that offensive locker room feels.
It's a completely new feeling. Like I said, it's a lot of energy. We're all one. It doesn't matter if you're on the practice squad or if you're Aaron Rodgers. Everybody's communicating with everybody. It's like one big family, like you said. You come in and it's very contagious. Like you walk in, music playing, and you see people communicating. You're not just walking in and people are on their phone, head down, not talking to anybody. That makes you just want to not be there. But when you walk in and you got guys greeting you, good morning, hey, what did you do yesterday? Talking to you, and just people who actually care. You get a whole different feeling and different sense. And even after a victory, it's completely different in the locker room. We got just jumping around,
clubbed up,
partying in the locker room, and it's just a whole new energy. And that's what I told some of the guys. I was like, man, we didn't have this after a win before.
Talking with Manny Wilkins, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and Aaron Jones. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. Manny, I got to ask you, Aaron Rodgers made his bones. We got a chance to see him on the practice squad and run scout team. And I've seen a lot of guys do that. He took pride in burning starters. I mean, and that's where the whole belt came in. That's when they started doing that, because the scout team wanted him to do that. So my question to you is, has he talked to you about what you need to do and your focus and your level and your energy when it comes to running the scout team?
He looked me in my eyes and said, go out there and slice and dice them up. That's simple as that. He said, go out there and be a football player. And, I mean – shoot, he could tell you.
That's okay. We're recording this.
Sorry, guys.
Sam, back in the studio, edit that, man. Drop that out.
He could tell you. I come when I step out of practice, you know, whether it's playing quarterback or playing receiver or kicker turner or whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it at the highest level that I possibly can, because I take pride in my job. You know, I get paid to play the game that I love. You know, what more can I ask for? So, you know, I take tremendous pride in going out there and giving 110% no matter what's asked of me.
See, once you get off the practice squad, you can't say that anymore. But when you're on the practice squad right now, you can.
We all start somewhere. We all start somewhere.
So let me ask you this, because when they came to me and said, hey, Manny's going to come over, they said, hey, Manny is going to be part of this broadcast and wanted to be kind of like the co-host. So I'm going to ask you to ask him. I'm going to step away. You guys do your thing. You guys, you ask him questions.
Y'all going
to
throw me a curveball like that?
I'm going to throw you a curveball like that. You know why? Because some of the best conversation doesn't come from us.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from guys within. And you know from being interviewed, there's guys that come over and ask you a question, and you have to, in your head, roll your eyes. I've seen it. I saw when we were down at Super Bowl, and you're going through that car wash of all the different radio stations you got to go through. So I'm going to let Manny interview Aaron Jones.
About, can I get a topic? You
whatever you want. You can ask him about every. You know the okay. man. Ask Manny right. about anything.
All right. All right, Aaron.
Do you want to think?
Pleasure meet you.
Nice to meet you, man.
Okay, so a couple questions I would ask Aaron is, I feel like people, kids growing up that want to play this game or be an athlete or aspire to be something, an entrepreneur, a business owner, whatever it may be, what do you feel separates you in terms of your preparation towards your job every day?
Just knowing that it's my future, my family depends on that, and if I don't prepare the right way, if I don't come in knowing what I got to do every day, knowing they can easily bring somebody else in to replace me and I'm out on the street looking for a job, that's something that motivates me and keeps me going.
Nice. I would like to ask, because I feel as football players in the NFL, people might look at us and just see football sometimes. You know, I feel like I have a lot of conversations with teammates about that, is that what are some of your hobbies? What are some of the things you love to do outside of football? Because we know at the end of the day, you know, this game is our work and it provides a lot for us. But we do have passions outside of football that we love.
Definitely. Well, in my free time, I give back. I work with special ed, special mm-hmm. need kids, Special Olympics. That's one of the things I like to do. But other than that, I like to play video games.
Me too.
I like to sleep.
Yep.
I like movies.
Yeah.
That's and music. I like music.
Cool. Me too. I like music.
Do either of you play any instrument at all?
I'm an artist.
Okay.
I make music.
Okay.
Yeah, I make music every day. Right. The time that I have the opportunity to, I make some music. So.
On pad or Surface?
No,
or
recording music.
Okay. Yeah. Do you really? Okay. Yeah. So what do you play?
Not seeing artists.
Oh, okay. Artist wise, okay. Yes. Well, there's many different ways to be an artist. You can be an artist in creative Definitely. Music. You can be an artist in voicing music.
Definitely.
Do you want to lay something on us?
No. Nope.
You know what? Let's do this.
You're not gonna peer pressure me into doing it.
Let's do this.
I have heard him though. I have heard it, and he's pretty good.
It's legit. It's okay. Legit. Well, let's
when
do
the
this.
Time is right.
We're gonna take a break. Yeah. We'll give you 4 minutes to think about it. We'll come back. Manny Wilkins alongside. Excuse me. Aaron Jones is here as well. I'm Bill Michaels. More of the Lodge Colder Kick Club right after this. Welcome back. It is the Lodge Colder Kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels. Manny Wilkins alongside Aaron Jones here as well of the Green Bay Packers and a feisty audience that's had a couple of glasses of wine, I guess, sitting in front of us today. So all kinds of questions being fired off by the studio group here. So I'm going to start off with Trice's question because we're going to ask it publicly here. So you talked about, Aaron, about reducing body fat. And she leans forward and she says, can I ask you a question? What part of you was fat? So, we're going to say, where did you take the body fat off at?
From my midsection.
Okay.
That's where it hides at, so that's where I took it off.
The poke in the tummy, is that what you're saying?
A little poke.
Okay.
It used to be a little poke in the tummy.
Oh, man. So, Manny, I'm going to ask you, come the off season, I'm not going to ask you where you took your fat off at. I'm not going to worry about that.
Yeah, I got a dad bod.
Which is what?
A dad bod.
Dad bod just hanging out?
Yeah, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you this, because for a running back, you're produced to take a pounding. That's what it is in the NFL, especially and not in any way, shape, or form picking on you, because I think as far as like what you do is tremendous. But you're not, you know, you're not 6'4 and 250. You're a smaller dude going up against guys at 300 that are trying to squash you. You know what I mean? So there's a different level of training for what you do versus Manny, what you do. Correct?
Right.
So when you guys meet in the gym, you know, it's a whole different regimen, correct? The way they set you guys up. It's not?
No.
No?
No, I mean,
he got to be able to take hits too.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
When they see a quarterback sitting there in the pocket, they try to hit him hard. Hit him harder than they hit me.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know the strength staff here. They do a really good job of, you know, he might lift more weight and all those things, but the things that we're doing aren't. It's a group thing because it's literally just injury prevention stuff. You know, it's stuff that's making sure you stay fit, your muscles stay ready at all times. A lot of activation things, you know, just simple things like squatting and just making sure that your legs are just strong and thick so that you can take those hits.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I mean, it's just focal points on certain muscle groups. Like when we bench or something, you know, I won't get under a bench, but I'll do a hammer bench, even though they're doing regular bench, you know, just mm-hmm. things that don't put stress and wear and tear on your shoulder. So, I mean, they do a really good job of focusing and guys that have previous injuries, making sure that they aren't messing with any joints or any ligaments that can possibly flare up from doing certain lifts.
How much core? Because I know
a lot of core.
I was going to say the one thing that we hear all the time is hammies, obliques, abdominal muscles, all that kind of stuff that's all core that can just be a nagging injury once it happens. How you guys do a lot of core?
Yeah, I mean it all ties together. I mean, if you're it's weird being a rookie, I've had the chance now to really understand how taking care of your body can transition you into being a better NFL player. You know, you got to be able to last. So I've learned the eating habits, what you're drinking, you know, what you're putting in your body is what your body's going to put out. So I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is just do it the right way and don't put junk in your body.
How about you, Aaron?
Well, like you said, like I took that step in what you put in your body. That's one of the biggest things. And like you said, how you take care of yourself. I mean, you go in the locker room, you ask Tremont, how have you been in the league so long? You ask A-Rod, like, how have you been in the league so long? It's a physical league. Like, you take a lot of hits. That's a lot of games over a lot of years. And the first thing they say is how you take care of your body, and the second thing they say is preparation. And if you do those things and you can get a group of guys to follow those same things, you're gonna be good.
I want to go to Tremont Williams. Yeah. The elder statesman of the group, I mean, by far. And yet I watched him playing at Bears game specifically. Now, he had the one PI call that I thought was garbage. The other one was legit. But to watch him work, and you're right, at his age, he doesn't look, first of all, like he's lost a step, which
smooth
is amazing.
Criminal. I call him smooth criminal.
That's exactly right. Yeah. He's just swift. And it goes back to preparation. I've said this for a long time, that he pointed to Charles Woodson years ago when he learned how to study. Is he a guy that steps up, not necessarily in offensive meetings, but just in meetings in general, if you need somebody to teach you, if you need somebody to look at what you're doing offensively because he's looking at it from a defender's point of view, is that a guy that you go and rely upon?
For sure. For sure. I mean, he doesn't need to say much because his play and what he's done and where he's been, you know why he acts the way that he acts. You know why he is so humble and he's so even keel as well as 12 is. These are just guys that have done it at the highest level for so many years that it just becomes second nature to them. So my biggest thing is, he's just so smooth on the field. I mean, you would think he's 24 years old out there the way he's running around, you know. So he's good people, though. You know, the other day, something that really stood out to me about him was I was sitting on the grass stretching or whatever, and he just came up to me and just asked if he could just pray for me just because. And him and JK. And that's something that, you know, just goes to speak to the type of people that we have in that locker room, guys that are willing to take that extra, you know, minute and a half out of their day, something that not a lot of people would think is a big deal, but it's a big deal to do little things like that for people. So
I'm going to ask you, Aaron, because Elgton Jenkins is now going to get the start over Lane Taylor. Lane's ailing a little bit with a bicep injury. How difficult or how different is it to have different linemen? Because they've been shuffling those two in and out quite a bit. Does it change? I mean, you still have the same job, the same hole, the same read, the same thing you're supposed to do. But when guys have different nuances, the way they do things differently, does it change the way you have to read and react?
Sometimes, but Biggie, that's what I call him. Biggie, he's ready to play. I mean, I wish you could pull up a clip of him on that.
Dude's a baller, isn't
he? Wish, he was in the game. He played, he rotated in last weekend on the goal line. He had a big block to get me in the end zone, and He's just a big, mean, physical, nasty dude, and that's what you have to have up front. And he's a dog, and he's ready to play. He knows what he has to do, and just last week he just showed me that he's ready for this. He didn't blink when he got out there. He was buckled his chin strap and was ready to go.
Both guys had their moments. Both guys performed extremely well, I thought. I mean, you try to watch so much with the binoculars as to what's going on, and if you've played the game, you kind of read it differently than it is just watching the ball carrier, watching the ball go, because you're always trying to see which direction things are going. And I thought both guys have played really well. It's been a hell of a battle going through training camp. I know that. Let me go to the defensive side of the football, because you've got veterans now. You've got Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, who was here last week and was just fascinating to talk to. So now that you've got, like you had said, a mix of youth and veteran, do you feel that this is that group, this is that feel, this is that locker room? Everybody, like I said, I go back to the question I asked before, when you know it, when you walk into the room and you know it and you're glad to be there and you feel like you're going to be a part of something. Do you get that?
I definitely do. And those three guys, they brought over a lot of new energy, some swag. See the defense flying around, and you see in the first two games, those three making big plays, Adrian sealing the game for us in Chicago, and last week Preston making an interception, and Z making sacks. And so those three guys, they've been big additions to our program, our team, and I'm glad to have them. And they're great leaders as well, and anytime you have leaders who are like that, they reach out, they do different things for you, and they bring you together as a team.
Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Our final segment is coming up. We will talk about this upcoming game against the Denver Broncos, because you guys have started against the Bears with a tremendous defense, the Vikings with a tremendous defense, and now you got Von Miller and everybody coming after you, another tremendous defense. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Lodge Cooler Kickoff. To have you. We are broadcasting live at the Lodge Cooler here in Green Bay. We are a stone's throw away from the shadows of Lambeau Field, across the street in the Titletown District. Don't forget, coming up after the game on Sunday, it's going to be the Green and Gold postgame show. We are going to be live over at Hinterland. So if you're here at the Lodge Cooler, you can stop over, say hi, come back over to Lodge Cooler and enjoy yourself and have a beverage or two and kind of hang out and just enjoy an entire weekend here in Green Bay. Manny Wilkins, backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and also Aaron Jones for the Green Bay Packers here with us as well. And so, guys, I now got to ask you, because, Aaron, let me start with you. You played a Bears defense with Khalil Mack and company. That's the way you start the season, and you fared well. Then you come in and you slice and dice for a quarter and a half, a very good Minnesota defense. And now you've got Von Miller and Chubb and company that are going to be coming after you. Another really tough defense. I can't remember when this team, short of maybe a postseason run, has played three staunch defenses like this in a row. But then again, this is great preparation for the next defense. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
So how tough has this been to not only study, but then with all the defensive or all the offensive moves to keep the defense from getting to Aaron Rodgers? It's been different, because you've put tight ends in. You've had to chip block at times. I've watched you. Then you're receiving more and more passes. You worked on your pass catching in the offseason. How different has it been?
Well, every team's going to have their key players, and usually it's an edge rusher and a couple of DBs. And so anytime you have – some good pass rushers, you got to help out your tacklers. You're going to have to get some chips, some cut blocks on them. And so it'll be a team effort. Anytime you see a team with some good edge rushers, it'll be a team effort from tight ends, receivers, O-line, and backs. Everybody will be getting a piece of the defensive ends and trying to slow them down and keep 12 clean.
Now, Manny, do I call you Joe Flacco? Because is that what you've been this particular week?
Yeah.
Running scout team? You've been Joe Flacco?
Yeah.
2.0.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco 2.0.
I can move a little bit better than him. I said that.
So tell me about some of the things that they present.
I think they do a really good job of, you know, trying to keep him in the pocket, because he's a guy that likes to sit in the pocket and deliver. He's obviously done a really good job over the years. That's why he's been in the league for so many years, of delivering the ball to playmakers. You know, last week they had a really good game that they played, and guys made plays for them, and they just came up a little bit short. So I just think we're going to get a team that's really hungry, you know, to come in here and have a purpose with what they're doing. And you know, I just feel like this place, no matter what, every time somebody has the Packers on their schedule, you're going to get their best game. So we're expecting that.
So, first of all, was last week about as loud as you've heard it?
Definitely. It was rocking.
Because it seemed like it was really rocking. I mean, all the Milwaukee ticket holders have something to live up to now when you talk about this weekend here at Lambeau Field.
I hope the Milwaukee ticket holders bring it this week, because yeah, it was definitely something special last week.
It was, when we hear it in the press box, which is usually pretty quiet, then you know, because I think we were looking at each other going, man, this place is cranking. Yeah.
It makes a difference.
Tell me why, because it's – when you talk about crowd noise and energy, it's one of those things that drive people that like statistics. It drives them nuts because they can't quantify it by anything. Yeah. But what is it like when you have 78,000 screaming at you?
Do you listen to music like really low, like in the car, like when you want to jam out, you turn it up?
Me? No, I usually try to listen to Manny singing in the shower or whatever it is he's doing.
Well, usually you turn it up. Usually you turn it up in it.
Right. No, I get it. I get it.
You hear your fans behind you. You hear that go pack go. You hear cheering. Or when it gets the third down and the defense is on the field and you got the guys on the sideline trying to get the fans up and you just hear them and the offense has to burn a timeout. That plays a big role, and that's a part of having home field advantage.
How impressed were you with the Packers fans that went to Chicago? I thought at times it was as loud for the Packers as it was for the Bears.
Yeah, it was definitely loud both ways, and that was a great atmosphere, kicking off the 100 years of the season, and being a part of that is special.
How much razzing did you get coming out of the tunnel down in Chicago?
It was not actually some Packer fans in the tunnel.
Okay,
so it wasn't too bad.
So you kind of tone out the negativity from anybody else that happened to be screaming at you.
Yeah, I don't really hear it on the phone.
I like running out of the tunnel hearing boos. I mean, nothing's wrong with that.
Part of the game.
So this team coming into town, you had mentioned 0-2, very, very hungry. They did. They suffered a heartbreaking. They finally took the lead, and then, you know, who knew? I kept thinking Pinheiro was going to doink it off of the upright, and we were going to be back with Chicago with a doink all over again. But because we were listening to it. You guys just got done playing. We were listening to it on our way home after the postgame show. Do you tend to get – because to me, this is a make-or-break game for Denver. You go 0-3, man, you're really behind the eight ball. You get a win, all of a sudden you're back on it. This is the reason, no matter how bad or good a team may be, this is a tenacious team that's kind of wounded at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, but they got a lot of dudes over there that are some damn good football players. So they're going to come in here. Their coaches do a really good job of game planning. I think this is one of the better teams in the NFL of how they scheme up other teams. You know, they're not a, we're going to scheme based off of you. We're going to make sure you guys scheme because we scheme so crazy. So they're going to come in here. They're going to have some tricks up their sleeve for us, and it's going to be a fun one.
When did you get your first game as a Packer? When in preseason did you get your first game as a Green Bay Packer?
The first game of the season, I went in for a couple snaps.
I was going to say, I thought it was
I probably played the most the last game against the Chiefs.
Okay, that's what I thought. How was it?
It was fun, man. It was real fun to be able to, you know, my first time really having the chance to go in, and the game was, we were up by a touchdown, and, you know, we needed to go down and put one on the board just so we can solidify a win, and it was cool to have that moment for
now,
sure.
Now, in the preseason, is it as much about winning as it is about what they want to see from you? Because if I'm a quarterback coming in with a lead with, say, 5 minutes to go in a game, I don't want to run the ball. I want to put some stuff. You got to listen to what they tell you to do, but I want to put some stuff on display, throw some things on film.
Yeah.
You have to have that level of anxiety, right?
This business is it's just so crazy how it works. I mean, I didn't have the chance to go out there and put on a full display of plays or pass plays and all these things, but I had an opportunity, and when my opportunity came, I took advantage of it and I capitalized. So at the end of the day, I can't be frustrated with the circumstances. My circumstances are what they are, but the thing that I can't control was my attitude that I brought to the facility every day, how I prepared for my moment when it came, and just control who I am. And I went out there and did the best that I could, and obviously it's led me to being here today still.
We got about a minute here. So, Aaron, obviously you're looking for another big week. Coach LaFleur said he wants to limit you a little bit more. Is it just because you got a back-to-back coming up with Philadelphia on Thursday night?
I'm not sure. I think it's part of just making it throughout the whole season.
Right.
just it's a long season, and we plan on being in the playoffs and making it to the Super Bowl. So that's a lot of games, and we got another capable back in Jamal, so he can get it done. He showed that on Saturday, on Sunday, and we're both ready.
Thursday, you got a game Sunday, game coming up on Thursday. They're going to be taking on the Philadelphia Eagles back here at Lambeau Field as well. Guys, fantastic. Keep singing. You got a career in broadcasting. It was some great questions, man. All right? And Aaron, you stay safe and stay healthy, okay?
Thank you.
All right, guys, there you go. Thanks to everybody for coming out and enjoying the program. Thanks to Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham, Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, the Green Bay Legends Cruise, and Lammy Sports Management. Time for us to go. Have a go. Good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.